Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 57th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan, and with me across the pond is the stupid awesome analyst, John.
Yo.
And the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
We didn't really have anything to talk about, so we went through our list of discussions that we were going through, and we decided we're going to talk about Mecha. We're finally going to sit down and talk about some robots, because we all like robots. Everybody likes robots.
Chicks dig giant robots.
They do. And we'll probably talk about some Megas XLR because as one of the best mechas, honorable, not Japanese mechas out there. It's my favorite. Anyways. Add Bruce Campbell.
Best mech with car for head goes to Megas XLR.
You cannot compare.
One of our fans this morning, which we'll talk about at the end of the show, sent us a message saying, "Oh man, I loved Wakfu. Like, after your recommendation, I just watched it." So I was typing a message back to him. Apparently, my phone knows me all too well and auto-corrected Wakfu to Waifu.
Yeah.
So I don't know how often I type that, which I don't. I guess I at one point was just like, I'm gonna type Waifu enough that I'm gonna add it to my dictionary. And so now every time I try to type in Wakfu to be like, this show is awesome, I'll say Waifu is awesome.
Yeah, because Waifu is awesome.
I guess so, yeah.
Although you have all these fans telling you, wondering, you know, why is he saying that Waifu is awesome?
Thankfully, this is my first opportunity, and I caught it on the first go. But
so now you have to distinct between.
That is a pretty hilarious, hilarious correction, though, because they are pretty close.
You have to always distinguish what conversation you're about to have. You're about to have a Wakfu conversation, talk about French anime, or we're going to talk about which cartoon characters you're in love with.
Oh, man. And everybody's talking about Magfest now, too, by the way. I just realized that.
Massive action game?
Fest, yes.
Music and gaming festival.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah. That game was fun for a while.
Magfest is a pretty huge convention. Like, a lot of YouTube gamers go to it. So someday I will probably try to make it there. You know, shake hands with all the people that we really like to watch on YouTube. But, yeah, everybody's talking about it now. Facebook's exploding with Magfest pictures from all of our press and media friends. Makes me jealous. I want to go someday.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never actually thought about Magfest, you know, as much, but apparently it's really popular. I mean, but because it mixes two really odd topics, music and gaming. Of course, there's a lot of nerd musicians there, but it whenever I see anything about Magfest, I never consider, or I never really see anything about the music. It's always the video.
Yeah, it's always the games.
So I really wonder how much of the Mag is more ag.
Ag fest.
And gaming.
The old agriculture fest.
Or the agro crag fest.
Yes, yeah.
Where it's a festival of all Nickelodeon game shows.
It's a festival of teens being pummeled with foam rocks.
Yeah. It's an avalanche. Mope. All right, let's ring the news bell.
News.
Okay. So let's start off with the serious stuff, and then we'll move on to some of the more crazy stuff. But have you guys seen that is going to be losing an hour of their block?
Really?
On Adult Swim, because their ratings have been down.
Even with them adding Kill la Kill?
Yeah, well, Kill la Kill's not going anywhere, and they actually don't know where it's going into the schedule yet. But they've lost an entire hour of it, which I don't know. Is that really a bad thing? Because they doesn't.
Well, it runs until like 5 o'clock
in
the morning.
Yeah, it runs like 4 a.m. So I'm wondering, is it going to be like we're losing, or like it's starting at 10 o'clock now instead of 9 o'clock, or is it going to be there? stopping at 4 a.m. to play really old cartoons.
I'm checking right now just to see what the difference is.
Yeah, but I guess it's because of ratings. I guess even though they brought Toonami back and everybody lost their minds that Toonami is coming back, they're still not getting the ratings that they need to be officially back on TV, you know what I mean? Which kind of stinks. But I guess this could be some sort of PSA saying, hey everybody, if you got the time, you should watch Toonami. Save Toonami again.
Yeah, right.
Bring back Tom 1. Hey, did we ever talk about that old thing? I was hoping that Tom 1 didn't really die and Tom 2 was going to be a bad guy, and then Tom 1 came back and killed Tom 2, and then it was like, yeah, Tom 1's the hero.
I know what you mean.
And this all just takes place in between shows?
Yeah. You don't remember this?
And this was back in, like, 1997.
No, I remember the old Tom. I remember they even had, like, it was a contest, or, like, you could vote on what his new ship looked like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you can design the ship and everything like that. Right?
Oh, we did design the ship.
Yeah, I guess because when the virus thing ate Tom 1, I mean, we didn't even see it happening. We just saw the trailer. It was like, Tom is dead. And I was like, no!
What the heck?
Not Tom my commercial dead. Robot.
Who's going to tell me what's on TV next now?
Do you know when Kill la Kill is supposed to start airing on Toonami?
February 7th.
Okay.
Okay. And it looks like it says it's going to take an 11:30 slot.
That's not too bad.
That looks like it's the first slot, according to their website.
You're kidding me. So
I think so, yeah. It looks like it starts at 11. Toonami starts at 11:30 and goes till 5:30 a.m.
Interesting.
But I think they're changing it to where it looks like it's going to go to 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. So this is another interesting thing, because Kill la Kill we have not seen in English at all.
Right. You didn't watch the little trailer?
No, I have not seen anything Kill la Kill English.
I saw two videos. One was like the Toonami trailer, where I think only is the main character's name is Ryoko, or
yeah, Ryoko.
Yeah, Ryoko. I think she's the only character who speaks. But then there's an actual English trailer that shows all the other characters, or a lot of them.
Maybe I did see that other English trailer, and I just kind of
they sounded nice to me. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, what's her little cute little friend's name?
Mako?
Yeah, I think her voice actress sounded pretty good for that character.
Yeah, and I know that Patrick Seitz is playing...
Kamigori?
Yeah.
Oh, good. He has to.
The big dude is just always yelling. Every line is just... the American voice actor is just yelling.
Yeah, that's Patrick Seitz. Yeah.
That's his job. That's pretty much been his job ever since he became JP from Redline.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it could... could save Toonami if we tell people, if we, Wicked Anime, tell people, hey, you should watch Kill la Kill on Toonami, we are single-handedly going to save Toonami.
If you haven't seen Kill la Kill yet, what's wrong with you?
It's okay, Dylan. I guess.
I watched Kill la Kill. I just zoned out towards the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Attack on Titan that you didn't watch.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up in media news, what I have... We're going to talk about what we've seen for the new season of anime so far, and there has been a lot of good and a lot of bad. But for now, we're going to talk about this piece of news that the new season anime show Assassination Classroom,
mm-hmm.
they have postponed airing episode 3 of Assassination Classroom due to the current ISIS situation. Are you guys caught up on the ISIS situation, that there are two Japanese hostages that were put to ransom, and I think one of them's died so far.
Well, because they only had like 48 hours to send them, you know, those millions of dollars.
Yeah, but even still, they canceled the original airing of Assassination Classroom, and also Funimation Online has done the same thing in respects to this, and the reason why they canceled the episode was because there was a scene in it where a character swings the knife at Kuro Sensei, you know. So this whole swing of the knife thing was a big part of the video, which was, you know, kind of a big turnoff to people. I guess they didn't want to take it too sensitive. However, there were plenty of other people out on the internet who did not take it too seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're taking it seriously, but they're
trolling ISIS.
Yeah, they're trolling ISIS.
It's called the ISIS Crappy Collage Grand Prix, and it's Twitter blowing up with these really bad photoshops of the ISIS video. We've seen videos of Goku and Luffy being the hostages.
The Colossal Titan reaching over the sand dune.
Yeah, gonna get the ISIS guy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy the way what they're doing, and it's kind of like an attack on them, but it's not really gonna do anything.
Yeah, it certainly won't have it, but it certainly brings up a certain bit of morale.
Yeah, almost as like we're not afraid of you, and I mean, I can't believe that the Islamic State is still at it, to be honest with you. I thought that they would be, that they would have kind of shut up by now.
But I don't know, yeah. Well, I'm actually surprised that, it's still amazing that, I mean, we're finding the only people who are getting captured by ISIS and, you know, killed and executed by ISIS are the people who, you know, go out there and, the war reporters, you know?
That was one thing that I came across on Reddit, I think the Japan subreddit that I found interesting was that a lot of the public in Japan don't have a lot of remorse for the two Japanese hostages because they feel like they put themselves in danger.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty kind of weird to me.
Yeah, that is true, but that's kind of what those kinds of reporters' job is. They're meant to put themselves in danger.
Yeah, they put themselves in harm's way, and when... You know, it's the Japanese mentality of when you have a job, you do your job. And that's what they're doing. They're doing their job. Like, part of their job was
the Japanese hostages were actually reporters? I have no idea what their profession was.
I honestly can't say yes or no with a positive thing. But as from what I remember hearing, they did have some sort of media integration. Because honestly, I don't know why any Japanese person would be out in the Middle East. I don't know why anybody would be out in the Middle East.
Anyways, I don't know what the turnout of this is going to be, but I really hope that it turns out fine. The whole thing with one of the hostages being killed is actually under investigation. They don't know whether or not it's legit yet. So fingers crossed on that, people.
We just need to kick some ass.
Yeah, let's do it. America.
I don't know.
Been liberated. What do you got for media news, Andrew?
Okay, so we have some good ones and some sad ones.
Not sad.
I'm gonna start with the sad ones first, so that we can, in fact, move on to the happy ones. Guys, Auriga passed away.
Oh, like, that's right.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, she had
the singer of both Ghost in the Shell openings had lung cancer. And passed away only last month. I mean, according to this recording.
Yeah, age 44.
Yeah, she was 44 years old, and we literally saw her sing 2 years beforehand.
Yeah, like, it was amazing. It was like, you know...
And it was a surprise. Like, we were at Anime Boston, and it was a surprise concert. We knew Auriga was going to be there, but she walked out on stage and started singing the first Ghost in the Shell theme song, Inner Universe. And
it was gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, I had tears in my eyes because that's my favorite Auriga opening for Ghost in the Shell. And she was singing to a Ghost in the Shell AMV of it. And it was just the best thing I've ever seen. So the fact that I even got to experience that was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah, so...
That is sad.
I'm sorry, Auriga. You were just amazing. We love you. Everybody loves you. Thank you for your... contributions to Ghost in the Shell. So,
actually, well, that could lead into the news story that I had.
Oh, yeah?
Because, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it was just rumors then, but now Scarlett Johansson has officially signed on to play Major in the Ghost in the Shell film.
Yes. More sad news.
Yeah, more sad news.
Well, the reason I brought this to the table, and let me go on a little... Oh, I'm going to read some of the article, is I feel like Scarlett Johansson is the most redeeming part about that movie so far, because we talked about before, Rupert Sanders is on board to direct, and the only thing the only feature film he's directed so far has been Snow White and the Huntsman.
Ugh.
And then the producers are Abby Arad and Stephen Paul, and I went on a little IMDb rabbit hole. Stephen Paul... is known for Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2, Ghost Rider 2007, the original Baby Geniuses.
Oh, boy.
And then the second Ghost Rider.
Well, the second Ghost Rider apparently was much better because they had the crank guys on it. And the filmography was absolutely amazing. But...
And then, let me go...
You shine up crap, you get shiny crap.
Abby Arad, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It looks like he's produced pretty much everything, at least for Marvel films. He's like, there's pretty much every Marvel movie is under his IMDb page. All the good ones, all the bad ones. You know, the Blade movies, X-Men 2, X-Men. He also did Ghost Rider, Amazing Spider-Man. But, and the other name that was in this Variety article was the screenwriter, who is Bill Wheeler or William Wheeler. And I looked at his, and I didn't recognize a single movie from his portfolio.
Well, that couldn't be a bad thing, though.
And which, my point was, the last time we talked about this, is what I'm more concerned about is the people behind the camera for recreating a property like Ghost in a Shell. I mean, I think Scarlett Johansson could pull this off, and I totally understand why they would choose her, because it even mentions in the article one reason you would go for her is because she's going to put butts in seats. And that Lucy movie made almost $400 million worldwide.
And it was trash.
Yeah, and I'm really less optimistic about this film now, but I'm really interested to see how it turns out.
Oh, I will still go see it. Like, don't get me wrong about that. I'm going to go see it, but I will not enjoy any second of it. because the thing is, a lot of people say we're going to use Scarlett Johansson to put butts in seats, but she doesn't put my butt in any seat. Like, I am not a Scarlett Johansson fan.
Yeah, but
I've never been a Scarlett Johansson.
$14 compared to $14
exactly.
million. Dollars, so.
Exactly. But, I mean, they lump everybody up and say, oh, but it's Scarlett Johansson. She's going to make money. And, I mean, she will make money, but she's not going
to
make
actually,
money.
Well, actually, the point I meant to make, which I didn't, was having an actress like that attached to this film is a good way to get it greenlit. So it's likely that had she not signed on to do it, it might not even have been made.
Oh, Hollywood.
It's one of
logistics.
Yeah, it's totally one of those Hollywood things. And another thing I just remembered was an actress that I thought might have been cool to play Major, but would not have as great a mass appeal as Scarlett Johansson was. Let me see if I can pronounce her name right. Rinko Kikuchi. She played. She played the counterpart in Pacific Rim.
Mako.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because she is on the rise. I mean, unfortunately, 47 Ronin didn't do very well. I still wanted to see it, but
it was kind of cool. But she's also. It's worth mentioning. I think she is Japanese or half Japanese.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think she's full Japanese.
Yeah.
Isn't Scarlett Johansson like supposed to be half Japanese or something like that?
I don't know.
No, it's one of those things that, you know,
if she's a quarter Japanese, I'm sure they'll make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. No, it's one of those arguments of people being like, "Oh, they're whitewashing." No whitewashing, Hollywood. Well, unfortunately, she's a robot. So, or she's a human, but she's a cyborg.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that she has a shell. And the shell can look like whatever she wants. So if she wants to be a white person, then she can be a white person. You can't really argue that.
Sam Rockwell as Major.
Major Kusanagi.
That'd be awesome.
I would go see that. Are you kidding me? Major Motoko Kusanagi as Sam Rockwell as Major. Wonderful.
It's also interesting. I didn't know that this movie was a DreamWorks production. And I think DreamWorks is falling on some hard times.
Yeah.
Which could totally impact this film as well.
That one of their animation studios just let go 500 people.
Yep.
Wow.
Holy crap. Oh my gosh. They have to cut back on movies now. They're restricting it to one new original piece and one sequel. And that's it for DreamWorks all year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it mentioned in the article that insiders also tell Variety that Paramount has the option to come on as a co-producer and financer.
Oh, wow. That makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow. They got a lot of money. This topic of Ghost in the Shell will pop up again because a fan asked us what we thought of Scarlett Johansson. So we can talk about it again at the end of the show.
Well, I think we just shared our best
thoughts. Did. Oh, no, we did.
What fan?
It was Jeremy. Wicked fan Jeremy said, "Hey, Scarlett Johansson has been confirmed as Motoko. What are your thoughts?" And I basically just said, "I hate it."
my opinion, again, just paraphrased, is I think Scarlett Johansson could do an okay job, but I'm, again, more concerned with the people in charge of the film.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
No, yeah. Not a Scarlett Johansson fan, not a fan of her being
of her being. Oh, I thought you were just not a fan of her being. Her overall aura just annoys me.
Yeah. Well, it does in the Marvel movies, that's for sure. She is awful.
Yeah, I don't like Black Widow, but
I don't like Black
she's
Widow
been in
at
some
all.
Interesting smaller indie
fair,
films.
I want to move on from this topic, but to be fair, she just read the script.
She did, yeah, and like I mean, they in those Marvel movies, they're like, I want you to care about Black Widow and Hawkeye. And she's like, I don't care about Black Widow and Hawkeye. I'm sorry.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, what's next in media?
So next up, Crunchyroll has gotten a hold of Golden Boy.
Yeah!
Yay! So for everybody who has not seen Golden Boy, one, wait till you're older. Two, it is a fantastic vintage anime.
Study.
Yeah, it is...
Wait, what was the one line? A black bra.
It's, you guys, if you have not seen Golden Boy, and you know, you're one of those people that's like, oh, it's old, I don't care about old, you have to watch old shows because those are the good ones. Golden Boy is a classic. It is so good.
Features one of the best perverts in anime history.
And see, the thing is he's a pervert, but he's a really, really nice guy, which you don't really see that quality. You know, either somebody is full pervert, but they don't have any of the nice qualities. They're just creepy all the time in anime. This guy is a super nice guy, but he just goes nuts. He just can't control himself. And he's a genius. Okay. So the show is just brilliant. I think the voice actor who plays his English is Bob Smith, which I think that's his name. But you don't see him doing anime anymore. And Golden Boy is like his huge, you know,
his breakthrough.
Yeah, and he is just fantastic as... as Kentaro.
Yeah, it's the English dub is so awesome.
Yeah, and it's filled with Evangelion voice actors. Like, everybody is an Evangelion voice actor in that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, definitely recommend Golden Boy, add it to your queue.
So good job on that, Crunchyroll, for getting that license, because that makes any otaku incredibly happy. Especially if you haven't seen it yet, you have to watch it. It's so funny. There's only 6 episodes of it, too.
Yeah.
The one with the episode with the motorcycle isn't the greatest, but it's still funny. You know,
I think my favorite one is the swimming
episode is.
But
just,
then again, the first one's good too. The one with the programmers.
Yeah.
All right, and then next up we have We Were Trolled, guys. I see. Now I feel like we've already talked about this on the last episode, maybe not, but the director of Tekken has trolled us.
Harada.
Yeah, Harada has trolled us. He, the whole Lucky Chloe fiasco, how everybody's like, I hate Lucky Chloe, blah, 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 and then he freaked out on the Americans. Well, he was kidding, apparently. he was being sarcastic with all his trolley quotes, saying, she's not coming to America, she's Asian only, whatever. He wasn't serious, and we all fell for it. But even still, we were all sympathetic, telling him, don't listen to the haters, whatever. I was one of them. I guess I just didn't get his sarcasm.
Maybe he was just bouncing back. I don't know. Maybe he was it's really true. Mad about it.
That's what I'm thinking, that he was actually really mad about it, and that was just his strike back, and then he kind of got over it, and that's how he covered it up. Doesn't matter. We're getting Lucky Chloe. I'm happy.
Yeah, speaking of Tekken, one of the producers from the Ghost in the Shell movie, Steve Paul, was the executive producer on Tekken Kazuya's Revenge from last year.
Oh, boy. Cool.
Oh, and the other Tekken movie too.
Cool. Did he also work on King of Fighters?
I don't know, but he produced a movie called Pizza Man.
I want to see Pizza Man.
Yeah, that's the title.
Oh, it stars Frankie Muniz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that a documentary on what Frankie Muniz does now?
No, it looks like a totally. What? I was about to say it looks like a totally 90s movie. It apparently came out in 2011. Wow.
Cool.
Stan Lee?
Stan Lee will do anything.
Maybe Pizza Man's like a lesser-known Marvel character, and he's making a cameo in it. But he's like such a big name for the cast, they just still put him on the box.
Awesome. All right, so I think that's it for media news, right?
All right, sure. Hey, let's move on to some gaming news. Let's start with the big one.
Yes. By the time this recording is released, there will be 1 week until Monster Hunter 4 is released. We will have Monster Hunter 4 in our hands. But we got a chance to play the demo, and it is so good.
What's there to say about it? They gave you all the weapons, all the...
Yeah, you got to try out any kind of weapon you tried. I even got to, because it's just the demo, I went and hunted the Great Joggy and different weapons that I just wanted to try out. I tried Gunlance. I tried the new weapon, the Charge Blade, which is freaking sweet. What a cool weapon that is. I don't know. It was fun. We played with Evan of the Boston Bastard Brigade, Jared, who is one of our longtime friends from Florida and was almost on Wicked Anime, but we still have to integrate him somehow. But I got to play with Jared, and that was really fun. And then you joined in eventually.
Yeah.
While we were hunting the Gormagala, and we did terrible, and then I soloed it by myself, and I conquered.
Yeah, I did terrible.
Well, everybody did kind of terrible. I mean, Evan died all the time.
He's never played before.
Which, by the way, you can actually hear that recording over on Evan's show.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description.
Yeah, link in the description to the Boston Bastard or No Borders, No Race episode where it's me, Jared, and Evan beating the Great Joggy and the Tetsukabra. So fun. Oh, man. I cannot wait till Monster Hunter 4 gets released. And that is when, you know, soon after Monster Hunter Weekends is going to start. So Wicked fans who are Monster Hunter fans, we have our Skype channel and everything set up. We'll keep an eye out for all that information that's going to pop about how to join us for Monster Hunter Weekends, and we'll give you the scheduling and everything.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Monster Hunter 4. So alongside with that, when they announced all the new 3DS stuff, so the new we're getting the XL of the new 3DS.
Is that the one with the C stick?
It is. Yeah.
It essentially has all the buttons that a GameCube controller has.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people are really angry that we're not getting the small version of it. You know?
Oh, really? I thought people would be more upset that we're not getting an AC adapter with it.
See, that doesn't really bother me because I have one for... That was their point. Everybody who has a 3DS already will already have
one.
Yeah,
that's what they're thinking is...
But they're... How are you going to get new fans on board?
Yeah, well, and see, here's the thing.
Can you buy AC adapters?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you can... Nintendo sells one for about $8. You can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, what's the big deal?
And then they even have... Then they even have a cheaper one that is compatible with your charger. That's a USB port. So you can charge it on your computer or in the wall for like $6.
Guys, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're going to release a bundle, and I have air quotes with that of the AC adapter.
The AC adapter.
The AC adapter bundle. What?
So people are upset that we're not getting a small one, which I kind of get where they're coming from, but I'm going to get an XL anyway.
I don't really understand the point of not getting the small one, because, I mean, this new 3DS is going to be so crowded with all the buttons that are on there. There's like 1,000 buttons.
So alongside that announcement, that's being released on February 13th. Monster Hunter is being released on February 13th. Majora's Mask is being released on February 13th. This was all Nintendo Directs. You know, announcements.
Actually, speaking of, I think there's also a Majora's Mask Collector's Edition that doesn't come with the game.
No, they have a Monster Hunter one and a Majora's Mask one, which are both got sold out in the first day about. No, the Monster Hunter one took a couple days to sell out. Mm-hmm. Majora's Mask sold out in 15 minutes of its being announced. And basically what they did with those is the games come pre-installed on the game.
Yeah, I think I'm talking about something else. I'll see if I can't find...
Okay. So anyway, at that Nintendo Direct conference, they announced a new Fire Emblem. Ah! I'm going nuts about that. Because Fire Emblem Awakening was out of this world. Like, one of my favorite games ever.
You can fall in love literally all over again, Andrew.
Yeah, I get to find a new waifu to marry. See, I'm hoping that they're keeping the same elements. They have a full gameplay trailer to it. It has CG elements to it, and then full gameplay, and it looks so good. Oh, it's so cool. I love Fire Emblem, guys. Seriously. And if it's as good as Awakening was, with even a better story, like, I like the story of Awakening, but it could have been stronger. I didn't care. The character relationships just got me. They built that game with the player in mind.
Still gotta finish that game.
Yeah, you really should, because it's amazing. I'm on my, like, I don't know, third, fourth playthrough. So get on that.
Yeah.
And finally, back to Monster Hunter. I feel like we talked about this already too, but in case we didn't, I definitely talked about it on the Boston Bass Brigade episode of No Borders, No Race, that there was leaked an English benchmark photo of Monster Hunter Online.
I didn't know that.
So, if you guys never want to see me again, or when you guys never see me again, it's because I'm playing Monster Hunter Online and Fire Emblem. So, basically, Monster Hunter Online is built by a Chinese company, sponsored by Capcom, and it's playable only in the East Asias, but, you know, they have English patches for it and everything. But now they're officially... there's nothing official yet, but the benchmark that got leaked has English on it, which is surprising. You know, oh, we might actually get Monster Hunter Online. And if we do, I'm sorry, Wicked Anime is done for. And I already talked to Sean, too. Sean from our show. He's gonna hunt with me.
You could just do nothing but Let's Plays.
That's right. That's right. And I could bring all the Monster Hunter Wicked fans with us. So we can do Monster Hunter weekends both on Monster Hunter 4 and Monster Hunter Online. We can alternate. Look, that is some exciting gaming news for me.
Yeah, lastly,
specifically Andrew.
Lastly, in gaming news, guys, we had a fan send us a link to a new Steam game coming out called Mahjong Pretty Girls Battle.
That's right.
And it's basically Mahjong. I mean, what more can you want? But you play with hot anime chicks.
Yeah, it's strictly, there's no arrow in it at all. It's strictly Mahjong with pretty pictures.
Which fan sent us that?
That was sent to us by Kyle, I believe, our Wicked fan Kyle. Thanks, Kyle, for the heads up. It will come up in fan service again later because there was more to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle did send us over to that. They're releasing so many anime games on Steam now, including that company that we love to do work with, Manga Gamer.
Yeah.
All of their stuff is popping up on Steam, usually the all-ages versions of their games, because there's usually two versions. There's an adult version and an all-ages version. Obviously, Steam releases the all-ages versions, which doesn't make that much of a difference to the game at all. Honestly, the games that have that, both versions, it usually means the arrow scenes are extra, and you don't get them in the main story anyway.
True.
But hey, we have content coming up.
Yeah.
So that means it's time to move on to some strange news.
Woo!
Woo! Strange, right. China blowing up.
Yeah. Well, I got Chinese news, but nothing's blowing up. So first up in strange news, we have the reports of a restaurant in China that offers free food to beautiful people.
Is it Abercrombie the restaurant?
No. So get this. This is what, check out what they do. Like, how do you measure beauty, right? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So they actually have something in the restaurant where it takes your photo and then it sends it over to a clinic of plastic surgeons, some beauty experts, and they
air
go
quotes.
Yeah, and they go through a regimen of what defines a beautiful person. And within every half hour, the top five restaurant people, like customers, get to eat for free. The top five beautiful restaurant people.
Really?
Yeah. So
I would like to do that.
Yeah. So you go in and you get ranked, and if you're the one of the most five beautiful people to walk into the restaurant in the time.
Does it rank everybody?
Yeah, everybody walks in.
So does it show that you're on the bottom?
Yes. Yeah. If you go, there's two floors, and if you go up to the second floor, it shows the ranking.
That's where
the
orgies
people
are. What I was picturing it was like, you go in, you like get your photo taken, and then you like eat while it's like processing or whatever, and then you either like the server comes by, it's like, no, we got this, or they just hand you the bill and everyone's disappointed.
Yeah, you go and you're prepared to pay, but it might be a bonus if you don't, because you're beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no easy way around it. Being a server in that place is gonna be, you walk over with the bill, and walking over with the bill is never a good thing, because one, here you have to pay for your meal that could potentially be free. Two, you're really ugly. Yeah.
What if you just walk up with like a poster of Brad Pitt and then put that in front of the camera?
Oh my gosh, or John Hamm.
John Hamm eats free every time.
John Hamm always eats free.
I thought that was funny. It seems like that they figured out a way around the whole shallowness of being... They turned it into a game, almost.
Yeah, they did. But can you imagine being last? Like, if dead last
I seriously doubt there's, like, a leaderboard.
I don't know, man. I might laugh if I'm in last place. Like, if I popped up in last place, I might laugh at it, but then, like, oh.
I think there might be a leaderboard, Dylan. I don't know.
I don't know. Where's this article?
In the description.
I've got to wait 2 weeks to see it.
So, lastly, up in strange news, we have a story of...
Oh, this is so weird.
Yeah. Okay, so Vietnam, they detained 16 suspects of being... On suspicion of being Chinese spies. They turned out to be innocent, and they also turned out to be pigeons. Vietnam
obtained...
Chinese drones.
So they weren't like pigeons for someone else. They were literally pigeons. Like, yes. Birds. They arrested birds.
Yeah. And the reason why they arrested the birds was because they all had paper taped around their ankles, and somebody thought that they were computer chips, and so so both police and citizens started collecting up these pigeons that they found with paper around their ankles, and they ended up with 16 of them. Turns out they're innocent, don't worry, because they're not spy pigeons. They are actually racing pigeons.
Oh.
And they lost.
I would not rely on pigeons to race, because...
I don't know. Back in the old days, you know the old days when they had, like, boats crossing the sea? in Columbus times, there was someone sailed from, I think it was Europe, to New York with a pigeon, and then he released the pigeon, and it flew back faster than the boat that took him.
Because, I mean, well, you know, it's kind of like the way that... It works with cows, too. They say that cows used to be smarter until we started, you know, just making cows for meat. I kind of feel like it's the same way with pigeons. The more the pigeons hung around, the more dumber they got.
Well, we just throw food on the ground so they just stay there and get fat. Like, remember when we saw that king pigeon one day? He was just like, oh, he's the king of the pigeons. And he was just like a basketball.
Was that a kingpin pun?
No, this was like the king pigeon. I could be a king pigeon. But no, he was the boss. He was the king of the pigeons because he ate all the food.
He ate a whole orange once without chewing.
But man, yeah, no, in Boston, pigeons like do not move. Like you can kick pigeons. Like they just get out of the way, pigeon. And they are not afraid of you at all.
Yeah. Well, I just found it funny that the Vietnamese people, police, were even able to catch the pigeons.
Well, it's probably the same thing. The pigeons just don't care. So you walk over and you pick them up, and they're like, what the hell are you doing?
They got out their bread tasers. Bread. They shoot little croutons on wires.
Oh, I gotta animate this. This is the perfect conversation to animate.
Could you imagine the police brutality reports that they get in Vietnam? Just like a whole bunch of videos, like cell phone videos of police hitting pigeons with batons.
I'm just imagining like one of those combined GIF type things where it's like Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon pulling out a gun, like freeze, and then just cuts to a pigeon exploding.
This is the best strange news story ever.
That is most certainly as strange as it gets. Before we move on to the most important thing today, which I think is what we're watching, we have something even more important that we need to talk about, and that is Japan's Fetish of the Week! Yeah!
Not prepared.
Explosions.
Yeah, not prepared.
Why didn't you have the music ready?
Well, because...
Not prepared. It
snuck up on me. I'm sorry.
Yeah!
We could have just stayed quiet, put it in post. It would sound a lot better.
Shut up, Dylan.
Quiet.
Not prepared.
Quiet.
Okay. So this fetish of the week is a little bit different because we're going to be talking about an art book that's gone on sale.
And yeah, this was sent over to by one of our Wicked fans.
Yeah, I Thor.
Yep, I'm Thor.
And this is filed under fetishes I didn't or extremely specific fetishes that I didn't know that I had, which is underwater girls in knee socks.
But they're mechanical knee socks.
No, that's only one of them. That is a special feature of this art book where somebody has created mechanical, like, mecha knee socks, which is a good transition into what we're talking about today, because we're talking about mecha.
We are talking about mecha today.
But yeah, mecha knee socks that are, like, underwater-propelled knee socks that...
Kind of like Sky Witches, or Strike Witches.
It's kind of like Strike Witches. Yeah, that's what I was thinking that they were. Where they have the airplane legs. Yeah,
knee socks under the water.
But, what a odd thing to... Because it's like, who would have expected that, you know? Oh, hey, I like knee socks and I like bathing suits, but what if they were submerged underwater?
I don't know. I mean, according to the hentai episode with me, it covers up the best part of my favorite thing about a bathing suit is, like, I like the legs and the feet, so, like, why are you covering that up?
Well, but you got the absolute zone.
You do have the absolute zone.
Anybody who doesn't know, the absolute zone is the section between it's the skin between the sock and the hip.
And that shows... there's a name for that.
The absolute zone?
It's called the absolute zone. It's where the knee sock ends and the skirt and the begins. Skirt begins.
Sponsored by Absolute Vodka. this piece of skin brought to you by.
But yeah, they are releasing a complete and total art book of all pictures of females submerged underwater wearing a bathing suit and knee socks.
Yeah. I don't know. It's okay, I guess.
I buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. I mean, I see why it's kind of sexy. It's kind of cool. It would be a fetish of the week kind of a thing. And, you know, I didn't know I liked that. But, it's cool.
Tumblr everywhere.
I guess.
And that was your best fetish of the week! Okay. So now it is time to move on to what we're watching, which is... highly extensive because we started watching the new season of anime.
Now, I haven't watched a whole lot this season
I did.
Yet.
I did.
however, one of the things that I did talk about on the last episode did start up, which is Isuka.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. But it only started yesterday from this recording.
Okay.
and so I'm going to watch it tonight. It is an Arrow anime.
Light beams everywhere.
Yeah, probably, I'm expecting it to be censored to crap because the manga, I read the manga, this is actually an anime that I read the manga to, has boobs, like, galore. Like, crazy boobs everywhere.
Boobies!
Yeah, cat girls.
What is this?
You know, it's called Isuka.
Isuka.
Yeah, and it's on Crunchyroll, and, yeah. Cat girls, boobs, Arrow mishaps, you know. Oh no! But it is funny. It's really funny from what I read. It's pretty sexy. I'm not one for watching Arrow stuff, nor am I one for, you know, reading Arrow stuff too often. But Isuka is on my radar, kind of like the way Ikitosen and Sekirei was.
I gotcha.
Get it? Yeah, like that makes sense, right? Yep. Because I mean, I don't watch it all the time, but. Sekirei is really good. I love Sekirei, and that's technically Arrow because there's boobs everywhere.
Yeah.
But I really like it. So.
Okay. So where should I start? Should I start with the good or should I start with the bad?
You should start with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Well, that's good. So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure started, and it's awesome.
It's still awesome.
Starting where the 1993, like we're basically in the 1993 OVA section.
I think it's 1997. I can't remember.
1997. Oh yeah, 1997 to 2003.
I have this on my computer, but I'm not going to look it up. it's where the original OVA for Stardust Crusaders started. That's where this season is starting. And it's
perfect.
Yeah, it's the closest thing I've ever seen to a recreation of it. It's really great. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But that goes without saying. I mean, anything JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you can just expect to be awesome.
So. Yeah. I'm still watching Parasite. I'm still watching Chirabako because they're still going on from last season. Tribe Cool Crew is the surprise children's anime that I never thought I would watch, but it's awesome because it's about street dancing, and that one's fun, cute, whatever. The rest that are on Crunchyroll, not good.
Yeah, Funimation got all the good ones this year, and Funimation's video player is crap.
Well, it's not crap. I can deal with it now. It's gotten better. I will admit it's gotten better. And
they did update it. I do remember.
I have been watching a lot on Funimation. Let me start with what's on Crunchyroll, though. Cute High Earth Defense Love Club. Club Love.
Club?
Power Glove. It's basically a magical boy anime. It's all the stereotypes of magical girl animes, but if it was from High School Boys Club. It doesn't take itself seriously in the least. The first episode was funny, but let's just say it's not my cup of tea. it was funny. I'll admit it was, but I just don't really want to watch it because it's not meant for me. Some of the jokes that they had in there were really funny. Like, the main characters aren't an official club. They're called the Earth Defense Club. And on their door they're not an officially registered club, so their door sign says Earth Defense Club LOL on it. Stuff like that's in it, which is really funny. Not something that I don't think I'd continue watching, you know. Let's see. Kantai Collection, which is the art book that was Moe manifestations of warships turned into cute girls, has been turned into an anime. Not good.
Surprise!
It's kind of like the anime version of a video game adaptation to a movie.
Wow. Well, kind of imagine it like Super Sonico. They made a Super Sonico anime that was just
based off of a concept.
Yeah, it was just
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so whenever they kind of make something off of mascots or moes, it can be good, but doesn't really seem like there's a lot of effort put into it other than moe hype.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what it is.
Moe hype.
Yeah. Let's see, I tried Psychono, which is a harem about a group of friends trying to make an eroge game for their school club. I watched episode 0, and episode 1 and 2 are out right now. Also not good.
That was one that I kind of want to try to jump on, because I do like the harem genre.
Yeah.
So
you should definitely try it. I didn't think I liked episode 0. I think it was the fact that it was episode 0, though. So I will try episode 1. Just because I think episode 0 didn't give a clear direction.
Right.
Almost like they released an OVA before they released what they should have. You know what I'm saying? And then there was a short one called Military. I'm totally dropping that one because it's only a 3-minute short and it's just pointless. The Testament of Sister New Devil, which is two sisters move in with a guy because his father's getting remarried. It's a complete and total ecchi anime, you know, light beams everywhere as per usual. And the sister is the new demon lord, and it's revealed in the first episode, so it's not really super big of a deal that I spoil it. The brother turns out to be a hero that fights demon lords, and you didn't know that up until the last minute of the show, so it was kind of like the surprise. That one had like a little gleam of hope because it was so bad for like 20 minutes, and then the last 2 minutes were like, okay, maybe. Other than that, that's the only ones that I'm watching on Crunchyroll. There are a couple more, but they just completely I'm void of interest in them.
Yeah, I've only been...
There's sword and fantasy animes, and I'm not really...
See,
into that.
And that's it. My Crunchyroll list is literally just Isuka from this season, and then continuing JoJo, Parasite, and Shirobako.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's it.
Let's move on to some really good ones, though. Funimation. They have all the good ones.
Yeah, Funimation nabbed all the good ones, and I think they knew it, which is good, because Funimation usually takes up all the moe blobs.
Yeah. We already talked about Assassination Classroom, which is good. Kuro-sensei is a really interesting character. He's the yellow tentacle beast, and he is going to destroy the Earth at the end of the school year if a whole bunch of low-level middle school kids can't kill him. And the government, the catch of the show is that they have to kill him but it's a shonen anime, which means it's going to go on for like 1,000 episodes. And you already know that they're never going to kill him, otherwise there wouldn't be 1,000 episodes. And
yeah,
the thing of it is, if you know that the one person that you're not going to kill, or that you're supposed to kill in the episode, is not going to die, and that's the whole objective, how are you going to keep interest? That's my only complaint about it, but it's too early to tell what's going to happen.
Well, you have to remember, too, that could just be an arc.
Yeah. No, it totally could. But the other thing of it is that like, they do try to kill him every episode, and they get close, and he gets mad. But the other thing that is, too...
And he gets mad.
Yeah. The other thing is, too, is that Kuro-sensei is actually a good teacher, and all the students love him. They have to kill him, but they love him because he's the first person or creature or entity. He's the first entity ever who has cared about them. Right. Because they're low-level students, and they have to kill him because he's going to destroy Earth, but he's a really good teacher, and they all respect him. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting there. Death Parade, which is next up on the list, was awesome. It's Death Parade is about a bar, which is purgatory, and people go down to this bar to face what they live through in life before they either go to heaven or hell.
Interesting.
Yeah. The first episode took place, a married couple died in a car crash, and they're down in the bar, and they have to play a game in order to do that. And they have to bet their lives on the game. If they don't, then they get super dead because there's, like, dead bodies behind the bar that happens to all the souls who refuse to play their games. I don't get it. They're already dead. So what happens? Like, you're stuck in purgatory as a super dead person? I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. But they have to play a game, and what they played was darts. And the husband and wife were playing darts against each other, and their dart boards that they were throwing their darts at were linked to organs and parts of the body on the other person they were playing against. So it's kind of like some sick, twisted, supernatural Saw.
Oh, I have to watch that.
Yeah. Oh my. Okay, Death Parade was awesome. It was so good. Probably the best thing to come out this season so far. However, one other one that I got to watch was Rolling Girls, which was made by the studio that did Attack on Titan last.
No, wait a second. You watched the Tetsunoku one, too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yatterman Knights. That one was okay. It hit me in the feels. And the first episode really made me sad. That one was good. It's going to be interesting. I'll keep that one off to the side. I won't say too much about that one yet because I'm not sure how much I'm going to like it. But I will definitely keep watching that one. But Rolling Girls was awesome. I really, really liked Rolling Girls. It was an acid trip. There were super cool fight scenes in it. The action is great. It reminds me of a classic Gainax anime. Like, when I mean classic, I mean, like, Gunbuster, and I mean Foolie Coolie.
From the olden days?
Yeah, from the olden 90s. those days are considered classic now, aren't they? But that one was really good. I really, really liked Rolling Girls, which was a surprise. I didn't know that I was going to like that one, but I was going to watch it just because I liked the art in it. It was super colorful and everything, and all the effects that they used when, like, there's an explosion, there's, like, a mushroom cloud that's in the shape of a heart, and it's pink smoke, and really interesting visual stuff, and the characters are so super interesting. I would definitely recommend Rolling Girls. So this season, yeah, I'm totally digging what Funimation has.
Cool. For me, I'm not going to talk about any of the seasons because that was probably what we just talked about, all covered in there. You watch more of them, and you mentioned the ones that I watched as well. I finished The World God Only Knows, and I don't mean I finished the anime, which I did. I also finished the manga, because season 3 of The World God Only Knows, the anime, is not the complete story. They could totally make a season 4 out of the last story arc in the manga. So basically what I did was, after I watched the anime, I was not happy with that. I was kind of depressed with the way it ended, because it is also a harem. So it's a comedy, but it's a harem. I'm going to be making a full Wicked Anime episode about this, because it was just absolutely incredible. Now one of my new favorite animes ever. Probably my new favorite harem ever. Like, if anybody asked me, you know, oh, what's your favorite harem? Boom. Like, World God Only Knows. It was so good. Anyway, so I backtracked and went to the manga after I finished it and read all of it. And the ending was great. I love the ending. So anybody who has seen The World God Only Knows, who hasn't read the rest of the manga, the ending clears the whole story up. It's actually an anime with a good ending. Like, they knew how to end it, and they ended it well. It had a happy ending. It was a happy ending. So, yes. World God Only Knows. That is my recommendation of the year, even though it's been out forever. Oh, which I
It's
also...
pretty early in the year.
That's true. Well, I don't... Whatever year it is. Whatever.
It's a recommendation.
Yeah, it's a very highly recommended, high recommendation. I also found out that, season 1 and season 2 of The World God Only Knows has been released by Sentai Filmworks. Well, apparently season 3 is on pre-order.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to be getting that.
Neat. Dylan, you watch anything?
I only watched one episode of Coyote Ragtime Show.
Coyote Ragtime Show?
That's an older one, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason I watched it is because when I was a lot younger, we had, like, cable at one point where we got the Anime News Network, or some sort of version of it, but they released episodes so far apart from each other. I only ever saw the first episode of Coyote Ragtime Show, and so I decided to watch another one.
That's pretty cool. I dig it. How was it?
It's kind of cool. It's a short anime. It's only 12 episodes, and I feel like it's sort of dragging its feet, but I only watched the first two episodes now. I might watch the third just to see how it starts to pick up, but it's kind of cool. It's one of those treasure hunting animes where a girl has a key and a dude is going to take her to find the treasure her father left behind. And there's also this, like, bad, I guess, gang of, I don't know if they're thieves or criminals or what they are, after them, and they're like, I think there's like a group of 12 android girls that are all really unique trying to kill them.
Huh. That's kind of cool. Yeah. It is one of those older ones that mm-hmm. I would probably... Is it the age of, like, Outlaw Star and Cowboy Bebop old, or is it
early
2000s?
Early 2000s. It's not that old.
Okay.
It still holds up pretty well, the visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a Funimation.
I think you're right. I think it is a Funimation release.
I think so, yeah.
So with the toy shelf, well, we have some Aero figures being released, that's for sure. Coming up, we have the continuation of the release of our amiibos. So we have Lucario, Meta Knight. They're all being released. They're releasing all the amiibos in versions, or series, I should say.
Have you been seeing the Defect amiibos they've been releasing?
No.
Okay, so there have been amiibos.
I saw the Samus one.
Yeah, I didn't see the Samus one. I saw the Peach one where she was growing a third arm out of her side.
Samus just has two gun blasters, on one on each arm.
Oh, man, see, that's cool.
They were selling for insane amounts because they're so rare.
No, I mean the Defect ones where, like, Peach has a third arm coming out of her. That's the one that I saw, and I thought that was hilarious.
I don't know. That sounds pretty cool to me, yo. We also have a new, surprisingly, Valkyria Chronicles figure of Silvaria. Silvaria has a lot of figures being released, but the fact that they're still releasing Valkyria Chronicles figures of Silvaria is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I can't get on board with Silvaria. Like, I mean, she was a great character in the video game, but whenever they make a figure of her, she has like a K-cup chest.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
She's pretty misproportioned when it comes to figures, and it's kind of disappointing. Yep, that's back to her. What is this? This is like that Square Enix, the Square Enix company, PlayArts Kai, that do the redesigns of, like, Batman and stuff like that. They have a Darth Vader here. This thing is awesome! For $120, you can get this PlayArts Kai Darth Vader.
Yeah, I think I've seen this before. Yeah, I like their designs.
They have some pretty fantastic designs.
Gebel. It's all about the Gebel.
It is all about the Gebel. For those who don't know, Gebel is all that extra crap.
That useless crap, the lines and the bumps that make it look super interesting, but they're actually...
they don't do anything.
So for this Tamagotchi, we're going to talk about something that's kind of long overdue, guys. We haven't talked about mecha before, and it's about time that Dylan got back in the conversation, so we're going to do something that he knows a little bit about.
I'm still looking at Planet Kai figures or whatever they're called. Sorry.
PlayArts Kai?
Yeah, PlayArts Kai.
Planet Kai.
Planet Kai.
So I have a weird love-hate relationship with mecha. I love mecha, but it takes me a really long time to get into it. I never want to sit down and watch a mecha anime, which is weird because a lot of them are good. As like recent ones like Aldnoa Zero. I love Aldnoa Zero. I've only been through 5 episodes of it, though, because once other things come out, I totally throw it to the side. You know, I could be watching it otherwise, but I like mecha anime. I want to say that I like mecha anime, but I definitely fall off of it.
Really fast.
Now, do we count things like Evangelion in with the mix for mecha anime?
Yes, there's... I actually just did, like, a quick little wiki searching for stuff. There are two sort of genres for mecha anime. There's going to be, like, Super Robot and Real Robot. And, like, Gundam would be, like, Real Robot, where they're... The robots aren't fantastical. They're just sort of like if military actually were able to build robots, what they would be like. And then like Super Robot would be like Gurren Lagann, Eureka 7, probably Big O, where the mechas have like really fantastical powers. They might even be able to talk or, you know, be characters all on their own.
Hero Man!
I also thought of Hero Man too.
Yeah, Studio Bones really likes their mecha anime.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job at it. I think that if I ever wanted to watch a mecha anime, it would always be from Studio Bones.
Well,
I love that classic scene that they always have a template for, which is the ship flying around while the missiles are exploding.
Yeah.
It's in every single show.
Yeah,
that
every any scene where like something's being chased by missiles and it's animated by Bones is so cool looking. But unfortunately, their anime series are really hard to follow.
Yeah. What's happening? Oh, missiles.
But yeah, I would definitely consider Evangelion as a mecha anime. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Then that is certainly a good one.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely one of the pioneer ones. It's one that everybody's seen.
Well, I was just curious because, you know, it's all about the angels and stuff like that. So nothing's really a robot in that. So I just didn't know.
I suppose that's a good point, but I think it really depends more on the actual mech as opposed to its enemies.
They have extension cords.
Yeah, it's very real. They need AC adapters, but unfortunately Nintendo didn't include them.
You mentioned Gurren Lagann, which everybody seems to have a love-hate relationship with it nowadays, but I think that's one of my favorites. People have this really weird thing where mentioning Gurren Lagann is a taboo, but you can't help but deny that, or you can't deny that it's a really good masterpiece. Not to mention it's directed by Hiroyuki Imachi, which he's my man, and you can't he pumps out really good quality work, especially when it comes to fight scenes and things like that. You don't some of the fight scenes that you see in Gurren Lagann you don't typically see in any other sort of mecha anime. Like if you think about classics like Gundam. It's a lot of standoffs and coup de grace.
Coup d'etats. Yeah, I was just about to ask you, so do you feel like you like more of the super robot type mech animes as opposed to real robot?
I absolutely do. That would probably be why I like things like Power Rangers too, because the robot's not the focus of the battle. It's the people who are able to fight on their own, and then they use the robot to finish the fight. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, but that doesn't really make any sense, because that can contribute to Gundam, because Gundam is just a piloted robot.
Yeah.
But I am not into Gundam at all.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I loved Gundam so much just because I didn't know better. But but the weird thing too about Gundam is, I feel like in some of the series is. It's like the original canon series, the Gundam, Universal Century, the ones that take place then are very much a real robot series. But I feel like other ones like G Gundam are almost more like the super robot.
Yeah.
And like I feel like they can, because it's like a franchise of different series, they can flip-flop and go back and forth and like try different things.
Like Gundam Build Fighters.
Yeah, so I feel like some are... Certainly more real robot in summer.
Yeah, Gundam Build Fighters is a cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a Pokemon-esque.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a battle type. It's a dual type anime.
Yeah.
Like Bakugan and Yu-Gi-Oh! And all those cool ones.
And Beyblades.
Beyblades.
Is Beyblades a mecha anime?
No, Beyblades is not a mecha anime. What you should be asking, is Metabots a mecha anime? Which I don't think it is.
That's kind of around the same concept as is Gundam SD a mecha anime.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
I guess that's technically the same question.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
So anyway, unless you had another question or anything, do you guys have what or know what your favorite mecha anime is?
I would probably have to throw down and say that Gurren Lagann would probably be my favorite.
Mine is kind of. Okay, so here's the thing. I love Gargantia Susei no Gargantia, which technically that would be a mecha anime because it because one of the main characters is a robot and it kind of floats around the idea that there's a robot there. But it's more about the community and the people and how they survive on the planet now that it's a water planet, you know?
Instead of the mech.
Yeah, he's there to help out, and there are mech fights, and it's a very important part, and it's a tool. So if that is considered a mecha anime, then yeah, absolutely. I love Susei no Gargantia, but not because of the mecha, you know?
Of the people around it.
Yeah, if I have to put one in, I would probably say Evangelion.
Not Big O?
Oh, jeez, what the heck? Big O is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I would probably either be tossed up between Big O or Eureka 7.
Eureka 7 is... I was going to say Eureka 7 as well, because, you know, that's really cool, but I just couldn't... I don't know. It's tough, because like Jonathan, I have a love-hate relationship with mecha anime, so the ones that I like, I really like them, you know?
Yeah, I feel like mecha anime can also fall into, like, a pitfall that I think a lot of ichi animes fall into, where it's like they use their gimmicks of, in mecha's case, of course, giant robots and ichi giant tits, and they focus on those gimmicks, and there's no substance underneath, like, not a lot of interesting characters or story. But the ones that I think focus, I think that can focus on the other aspects of it as well as, you know, using their gimmicks appropriately are by far the better ones.
Yeah, it is really interesting in that respect.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
I do. I absolutely get what you're saying. Because when you think about it, like, there's a weird trend with things like Big O, Evangelion, Eureka 7. The robot isn't generally the main focus of the mecha, but it is a major player.
Yeah.
So.
Like Eureka 7 as well. Nirvash is a huge key to the story, but not overly used or.
Yeah, he's not more important than the characters
involved.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's a very good point.
But is there really any mecha anime that is that way?
Sure,
because if you think about it, when you think like Gundam,
yeah,
they're just the tools, you know, and it definitely is a lot about the people, but they're so boring.
Technically, if we want to get technical, then Gundam Build Fighters is about the Gundams, less about. I mean, there's a lot of character development as to how they use their Gundam, but it's a lot about when they're in the battles, like, my Gundam does this because.
Yeah. Okay, so how about this then? Does a bad mecha series entail the fact that you have to, like, in order to get to the good part, you have to wait for the mech fight to happen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
So, like, if you're watching, say you're watching, like, Gundam Wing, for example, it's one of the first Gundam series that Andrew and I ever saw. If you look at Gundam Wing, you want to see the battles. It's like, okay, get through the politics and let me just see the Gundams blow each other up. And as to which case is usually just a bunch of orange circles fading in and out in faraway space.
Or just being static and arguing over the intercom.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look for a series that is like, okay, I just want to see the mech fight, then that is a bad mech anime. Like, interestingly enough, that's a bad mech anime when you say, I just want to see the robots. But when you want to see the whole thing, when you want to see the people interact with each other, and when you want to see possibly fight without using the robots, then that makes a good mech anime.
Yeah, I think that's the best distinction we've come up with.
Well, let's throw another monkey wrench into it then. Gokiger, Gai King, Mazinger Z...
Really, oh, I thought you were naming one anime. I was like, this is insane.
No. Vintage mecha animes, you know, giant robo, things that are actually about the robot. Those are classics, and those are really cool, right?
So what did they do differently?
Their Go Nagai?
The sideburns.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched that much of those. I've watched a little bit of Gigantor, and I think Getter Robo.
Yeah, Getter Robo
was the one that was the first combining mech anime. And I wasn't really all that entertained, so I mean, I wonder if maybe their success was largely due to the fact that they were sort of the first shows to do something like, you know, Gigantor, I believe, was one of the very first mech animes, and I think Getter Robo was the very first combining mech anime. I think that was out before Voltron.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think we had this conversation before, and I was right about it.
I do like Voltron. That one is essentially a Sentai series, but an anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always really liked Voltron. I even tried giving the comic book series a start when they restarted it, and it wasn't good because it was American. But
yeah, Getter Robo came out 10 years before Voltron, so.
So here's a list. Here's a short list of some mecha animes that I don't like. right at the top, Code Geass.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen Code Geass?
I don't think so. I might have seen like one episode or so. I just have never had an interest in seeing it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do love that show.
A lot of people. It has a really
interesting, lose their crap over that show.
Yeah, it has a really interesting cult following, but I just don't like it. I just don't like the characters.
Well, it's all politics again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's all political. It's about revolutions. It's not really about the robots in that one either. But, of course, when I watched that one, it was both I don't want to see the people and I don't want to see the robot fights. So
there's nothing for you.
There was nothing about that.
So then another one that came up was Blue Gender. I haven't seen much of Blue Gender, but that was because I watched a couple episodes and I was just like, I'm not into this. Like, some guy wakes up in the future and giant bug monsters are attacking him. He gets rescued by people and robots. And I don't know. I just wasn't into it. So that one kind of seems like the robots are more tools to fight the giant bugs. But other than that, they really didn't have that much involvement. I'm kind of finding like a weird pattern here, whereas to initially I thought I didn't like giant robots because they were giant robots. But now I'm kind of finding, oh, I like the giant robot animes that involve the giant robots more.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
But, so, I mean, one of your favorites, though, like Big O. Big O only shows up at the end, like for 5 minutes tops. You know, I mean, that one.
Yeah, and that show too has a very cool story and plot, even without the robot. Like, if you were to take all the robots and monsters away from that show, it's still a very interesting show.
That's true, because it's like an American noir.
Yeah, which, like a huge mystery.
Yeah. I suppose that's true, too, but could that go into an element that makes a good mecha anime? If you take out the mecha and you make it a different genre, is it still a good anime?
Huh, good point. It's kind of it's an interesting question.
Because
here's this anime about that has giant robots in it. Take out the giant robots, are they important?
Yeah.
Or is the show good?
Yeah, is it still good?
Mm.
That's the key to mecha anime, making the mecha element of mecha anime not important. How interesting is that?
They have Ghost in the Shell in this list for some reason.
She's a robot.
Yeah, she's a... Okay, so there's an interesting question then. Robots. Because, like, I was thinking about this right from the start. I love Fooly Cooly, and it has robots in it all over the place, but it's not a mecha anime. But could it be lumped together with that in saying, like, hey, I really like robots, but I really like Lord Conti, but he's not a mech, he's a robot.
Yeah.
Does that fall into the same subgenre?
I don't think so, because Lord Conti is treated more like a character.
That's true. Yeah.
He
is a full-fledged interacting character.
Yeah, than a tool that fights things as, you know, for the person.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When I typically think mecha, I think of a robot that has to be huge.
Yeah,
that may not be the right idea to have, but that's usually just the first thing that comes to mind.
Well, most of the time, the robots don't have a personality of their own. They're being controlled by something.
Mechas are tools. Oh, no, I don't mean it like that. I literally mean they're tools.
That should be a shirt.
Mechas are tools.
So here's another interesting one. I never saw this one, but one that I did want to see was Burst Angel. Now, I heard that there weren't a lot of really good reviews about it, but it is done by the same director who did things like Kite and Mezzoforte. Like, this was his anime series that was not porn. Like, not lumped in with all of his pornographic.
Well, it's interesting that I made the Itchy and Mecha comparison earlier then maybe it was just an easy swap for him. What if instead of boobs it was robots?
I know that it probably does have some well-endowed characters in it, but of course his animes were never about well-endowed ecchi fan fiction or fan servicey characters. It was more about this is really creepy sex scene.
Ew.
Yeah, this is messing with me right now.
Have you guys watched any other Gundam series other than Gundam Wing?
Let's see.
Build Fighters.
Gundam Build Fighters, but Gundam Wing.
We've been told on many occasions that we need to watch Unicorn.
Yeah, well, just... Unicorn is really, really great. There is still a bit of sort of politicalness to it, and another thing that holds it back is Unicorn takes place like far into the future from the original canon series, so they make references to a lot of things you'll have no idea what they're talking about. But it still is an amazing show with beautiful visuals, and like every episode of that show was like an hour long, so it's like six movies, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so further looking onto this list of mecha animes, I came across this one that I think I've heard of, but I've never had any familiarity with it. And this robot looks just straight up badass. And it's
Mazing Kaiser SKL.
Yeah, Mazing Kaiser SKL. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of Mazing several things, but
yeah.
This
one's Mazing Kaiser.
Kaiser SKL.
Yep.
I know that there's at least one Mazinger movie on like Hulu or Netflix or something.
Yeah, this is definitely
this
a
might
Mazinger
be it, actually.
Yeah, this is definitely a Mazinger Z OVA or continuation or something. But this, he's got like a grody sword. He's cutting things to pieces. It looks violent. It looks awesome.
Yeah, this might be the one that's on.
He's riding on a horse.
Is it a giant robot
skeleton
riding
horse,
on
yeah.
a giant skeleton horse? That's
whoa,
weird.
Is this robot fan service? This robot is groping this robot.
Robo-rape.
It's consensual robot on robot action.
I wonder if this still has Go Nagai in the mix for something like this, because this looks straight up my alley.
I don't know. How big are their sideburns?
Yeah, Go Nagai is Mazing Kaiser. Is a Japanese OVA spinoff of Go Nagai's Mazing Kaiser, which itself is a spinoff of Mazinger Z. I gotta check this out, yo.
Yeah.
New mecha.
Yeah, if that looks good, or if it is good as good as it looks, then that will be a new mecha anime to add to my list.
It looks like the whole movie's on YouTube.
I bet it is. I bet I can find it on my secret. Secret.
Anime tree.
Yeah.
That's no longer your secret.
I didn't reveal anything. I didn't say what it was.
Was that the only two Gundam series that you had seen?
Yeah,
Wing
that's
and...
all we had seen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure, because when we were younger, we had a friend, our friend who got us into anime, basically. One of his favorite things to do was watch Gundam. So whenever we were over at his house, we would have to take a break for a half hour whenever we were doing anything. I mean, this is when we were really young. So, we'd be in elementary school, we'd be playing over his house, and we'd have to take a break so that he could watch Gundam for a half hour, and then we could go back to doing whatever we wanted. And it was always Gundam Wing, Gundam Seed, Gundam anything. So we've seen bits and pieces of it, but we've never actually sat down and watched these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gundam Seed had a lot less political stuff, but it was also like I don't know the best way to describe it. Like, it was one of those more emo type animes, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Angsty long haired characters.
Yeah, kind of. There was a lot of like relationship love triangle stuff in that anime. But if you would like one that I think is sort of like a good middle of the road Gundam series. Check out Gundam 00.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my more favorite ones. I found that one to be pretty entertaining. And then everyone always loves G Gundam.
Yeah. See, that's one that I'm surprised I haven't checked out, was G Gundam. Because we talk about it so much and it sounds so quirky and stereotypical, I would just love to see even what it's about.
Yeah, that's one of the things I find so fascinating about Gundam, is because it's like a series of series. So there's one Gundam series could be completely different from another, where like you could like one and hate the other.
Yeah.
There's even the the weird one that it's called Turna Gundam, and it happened, when did that take place? Wow, really? 1999? So a lot more recent than I thought. But the reason I brought that one up is because that's the, I think, probably the only Gundam series where I don't think a Japanese artist designed the mechs. It was Sid Mead, I think is how you say his name. Do you know who that is?
No.
He is a really famous concept future artist for like films and things of that nature. He did work for like Blade Runner and concepts for that kind of stuff. But he designed all the mechs, I think, for Turna Gundam. So they look completely different from any other Gundam series.
Interesting.
Like the main Gundam has like this thing that looks like a giant mustache.
Awesome. Mustache robot.
Mech Swanson.
Tom Selmec.
Tom Selmec wins.
I think that's a good place to end the discussion for that.
Alright. So let's move on to some fan service, guys.
Okay, guys, so you sent us some things over the course of 2 weeks. Of course, we had, as we mentioned before, Jeremy sent us our opinions on Scarlett Johansson being Major Motoko Kutsunagi. We have that long discussion, so enjoy that discussion at the beginning there, man. Gerardo sent us an onion-like website called Anime Maru, which I think I've heard of, but maybe not. It's not really super popular yet. It still looks like a blog spot. But Anime Maru is a news site for anime news, but it's like the Onion.
Huh.
So it's made up stuff. And he sent us one over for reverse Rift glasses. So basically you put on these sunglasses and it turns your world into a vectorized 2D world.
Otaku's dream.
Yeah, I read the article. I was like, that is super cool and a really funny concept. But I can just imagine people like smashing into things because they have no depth perception anymore. Like all day long tripping over stuff.
Stop overanalyzing. It's not real.
I know. And he also sent us over a new news source. So some place where we can share news. Tidbits and everything to our new thing called Daisu Daily.
Is it strange news?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a mix of everything. So, but Daisu Daily has some cool anime updates, all those normal things from Japan.
Cool, check it out.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out, absolutely. Big Bad Shadow Man, in his repeating, helping us out with all of our awesome kaiju news and giant robot news, said that the Ultraman manga is getting an adaption, kind of like Robo Girl Z, the anime for Robo Girl Z, where it's going to be cute moe representations of the monsters, but in the Ultraman universe.
Didn't they have, like, a figure series line of that?
I don't know. But this is all related to Ultraman.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's cool.
I'll check that out. I really like Robo Girl Z, so I would want to see that.
He also says that Crunchyroll is releasing Destroy All Monsters.
Really?
Yeah, the Godzilla flick. So that's pretty cool that if it's not already up there, we have to keep an eye out for it, definitely. So, and he also mentioned to us over on Twitter that, hey, the countdown timer on the Godzilla website is ticking down again.
Wait, like from the original movie from the new movie? Or?
Yeah, I believe it was from the website for the Godzilla 2014 movie.
Huh.
So it's countdown timer has started again. Reset the clock! So that was pretty cool. and our...
We get to see Bryan Cranston again. Yeah!
Is it a prequel?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
And then Wicked Fan Robert sent us over something on Facebook where he says, hey, I checked out Wakfu. Thanks for the recommendation, because he loved it.
We also talked about that earlier in the episode.
We did.
We got through all of our fan service already today.
Yeah, which was really weird. We just had a whole bunch of relevant stuff to talk about. So I sent him back. That was when we talked about the whole, hey, waifu phone. Because I tried typing Wakfu.
Ring, ring.
Yeah, we remember.
Waifu phone.
I know we remember. In case our listeners don't remember.
They just listened to it.
Me mumbling about it, so... Well, okay, so Kyle sent us over the Mahjong Girls asking us if that was the game, or that what we had talked about in A Real or Fake.
That's right, I remember that.
It's not actually what we were talking about in A Real or Fake. Believe it or not, what we talked about in The Real or Fake was...
Strip Mahjong.
Yes, yeah, Strip Mahjong, which was a movie. It was the Grindhouse Japanese movies.
Yeah.
However, we did talk about it one time before, really long time ago, where there was a Mahjong game where you got Moe Girls.
Yeah.
I do want to try this out, but it's PC only, and I don't have a PC. I mean, I'm sure it's not very processor intensive, but my PC still sucks. I need a better PC. Anyway... So that was all the fan service we had. So that should be moving on to the shameless plugs.
Go for it.
All right. So if you guys want to join our conversation about Mecha, maybe you guys really like Mecha. Maybe you like the Mecha series that we don't like. Send us some emails over at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find our show on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is our main hub. And hey, guess what? Season 3 of anime on the YouTube channel is about to begin. Actually, if it hasn't already begun by the time this recording comes out, because this is a 2-week recording, I'm working on an episode right now. A new episode with a brand new opening. Remember I've been talking about that shiny new look for Wicked Anime? Well, that's it.
It's finally happening.
It's finally happening. Moving on from that, we have facebook.com/wickedanime where we post all of our news and reviews and anything that we find funny or relevant that you guys might like to share that we'll talk about in later episodes. It's cool, and you guys can talk to us there as well. You can find us on soundcloud.com where we post our podcasts, /wickedanime. If you're not listening to the podcast on nerdyshow.com, where you can find our videos and our podcasts, as well as iTunes. Jeez, that is such a mouthful. iTunes.com. Our iTunes, whatever. You can find the Wicked Anime podcast. You can also tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime, where we can tweet back cool things. I love Twitter. Like, after starting up the Twitter thing, I just fell in love with it. It's so cool how we can just really quickly send notes. I don't know, I didn't get it before, but now that we're celebrities, I do.
Now that we're famous, rolling in the celebrity bucks.
Yeah,
in right. The baker's dozens of people.
Because that's what Twitter's really for, it's for them celebrities, so now I feel like I have a star on the walk. And finally, you can find us at tumblr.com, where we tumble things sometimes. That we find funny.
When we remember that we have a Tumblr.
Yeah. And that's it, guys. That's all we have for shameless plugs. But hey, Con Month is starting up really soon.
Aw, boy. We have some good stuff planned for Con Month.
Yeah, so we have 1 month to go, and that's February. This episode is coming out. It's already February. Keep an eye out for Monster Hunter Weekends, because that's when Monster Hunter should be coming out, like, a week from now, from the release of this episode, I think. February 13th, whenever this episode gets released, I don't know. So keep an eye out for Monster Hunter Weekends. It might start after Anime Boston, because we're going to be really busy with getting our panel stuff together, all of our press stuff together. But
official dates coming soon.
Yeah, and Con Month will start up again in March. March will be our Con Month.
Oh boy!
I can't wait!
Prepare yourself.
Your body has to be ready.
My body's ready.
My body's ready, too.
Mm-hmm. Reggie's body's ready.
Reggie's body's ready for Monster Hunter.
Is that the Nintendo guy?
That is the Nintendo guy.
Okay.
And Fire Emblem.
And Reggie Watts.
Thanks for joining us on the Wicked Anime Podcast, guys. Until next time, when
you get to hear us sign off again. The only way.
What?
That's what they. Hey, isn't that what everybody listens for? So if we hear.
Until next time, so you hear us sign off again.
Okay, bye.
Going through all the photos on my phone, which I didn't realize how many photos I had on my phone, and they go all the way back. I didn't delete anything off my phone. And so I found that picture, and I'm just like, no way.
I have, like, no photos awesome. On my phone. Never take photos.
See, and all of them are, like, different groups of cosplays from people I take pictures of each year at Anime Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
So I go back and there's like a bunch of different people dressed as Gordon Freeman.
Gordon Freeman and Lucy from Elf and Lee.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And cat girls.
Not many people cosplay as cat girls.
Well, because you can't say like, just say I'm a cat girl.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Lots of Macho Man Randy Savages too.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Macho Man Randy Cat Girl.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.